Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday morning, 251-343-0106. If you want to be in touch with me, your show host, all you got to do is text me, and we'll respond to whatever it is that's on your mind. April Rory Fogle here in about a half hour. Also on the program, we'll hear from State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion. So make sure you stick around for that as well. Recap the news here. I mean, it really is the escalation of what's going on in the Middle East and Brent North Sea crude up like $100 a barrel now, and Democrats are running with that. Escalate. I mean, it went up dramatically since the open. So West Texas Intermediate at $91 a barrel. There's a big discrepancy. I mean, that's a big bit. That's a bigger gap between the two than you usually see. I don't know what's going on there. But the unintended consequence of prosecuting this war are gas prices. And guys, I say it till I'm blue in the face. The gas prices are going to impact the election. So there you have it. Also, we talked a little bit about Tabitha Iser's crusade. August 11th primary. She's encouraging Democrat voters to go vote in the Republican primary, which is just a gift for Republicans who want to close primaries. No longer do you have to like point to Tom Watley's one vote loss in 2022 and the New York Times op-ed written by a Democrat bragging about voting in the Republican primary. You have real, like, you have a figurehead, vice chairwoman. But what's interesting is sort of the the two, what I would call true figureheads, the party boss and the chairman of the Democratic Party, kind of pushing back against Tabitha Iser. 1819 News, 1819news.com story at the lead this morning about that. I believe Randy Kelly smoking something serious to describe Vice Chairwoman Tabitha Iser. And Joe Reed didn't have very much complimentary to say about her either. So that's where we are on the news. Happy to talk about some other things going on around the world. I need to get somebody's text. Squirrelverine, a pipeline through Iraq, isn't that the kind of thing? Salt in 2003 for contractors to get targeted by the burgeoning insurgency. Could you build it through another part of the Middle East around? I don't know. I don't know how feasible this is, but these Gulf states are exploring that option. They're really trying to figure out a way around that. And as I kind of thought about it, if you could successfully do that, you'll be printing your own money. If you could figure out a way around the Strait of Hormuz that isn't, you know, a threat, I mean, you'll be a very wealthy person. It seems like. So I think they're looking at that. Derek, thought you were leaving. Sorry, Derek. Jason, good morning, Jeff. Even as bad as it is, there are no circumstances where Robin and Nappy crew would be as critical of Pritchard leadership as they have been Mayor Tony in Orange Beach. Why they aren't worth a dollar a day, in my opinion. Well, that's your opinion. Ultra Runner, regarding Iran's nuclear capabilities, we could argue about how close they were, but do you agree that it is a priority for them? Do you agree that they have made progress despite our best efforts. Do you agree that the Obama administration was Iran's dream come true? And finally, do you agree that we will have a less capable U.S. administration in our future? If you mightily agree with my assumptions, what is the risk of doing nothing? I thought that they had taken care of this, though. Remember the initial strike before the war got underway? And there's all these, like, kind of side discussions about the role of the Israeli government and the intelligence. And I normally that would be something, you know, you would kind of disregard, dismiss. But the pro-Iranian types have been lobbying for this for decades. I mean, you go back to John McCain and bomb Iran to the Beach Boys classic Barbara Ann, remember? That was 20 years ago. That, you know, the neoconservatives and the Israel lobby, which I don't think is as evil as people make it out to be. This is what they've wanted, and we finally are doing it. So there's some question about the credibility of the argument, and you know this is how it is. There's some questions about that because it seems like for this amount of time we've been told that Iran's going to acquire a nuclear weapon any day now, and they're going to act, and they haven't yet. And they text you, so-called conservative talk show host, whine every day about the price of a gallon of gas. You are proving kindling for the Democrat hate America crowd. But you couldn't find one communist sympathizer Democrat to say one negative thing that would provide kindling for a conservative crowd. Because say what you want to, but they stick to the script, unlike you all over the board bouncers. They stick to the script because they're disingenuous. They look at achieving power, a name texter, as the ultimate objective, and they'll say whatever they have to get there. They don't do any sort of deep dive, any sort of intellectual analysis of what we're talking about, because to them, it's all about achieving the power that he figured out later. This isn't a team sport. We don't meet like Democrats do and I don't get sent a sheet with talking points from the DCCC. And I don't call it whining. It's a reality. You can whistle past the graveyard if you like, but if you think the American people aren't going to respond to paying high gas prices in a way that's very adverse to your core beliefs, you're just very naive about it. There's a reality here we have to discuss. This isn't, let's see how many Republicans we can get elected on November 3rd. That's not why I do talk radio. This isn't RNC radio. It's this, that this is the canary in the coal mine. This is going to happen. This, if you want to achieve some kind of settlement in the Middle East where Iran is no longer a threat, you're going to have to do a Republican support on Capitol Hill. You don't have Republican support on Capitol Hill if you lose the election on November 3rd. You don't win the election on November 3rd if gas prices are in excess of $5 a gallon. That it's simple as that. Not everybody thinks the way you do. people in Alabama will vote Republican in a lot of other states. But in these contested primary or in these contested elections, they don't care. They don't care about the social ills. They don't care about any of that. They don't care about what comes along with Democrat leadership. It is going out and voting against something. And they're voting their pocketbook, and they're going to vote against Republicans because they are going to blame Republicans, rightly so, for why gas prices are high. But I got to have this merit-based debate about, well, you need to feel the pain at the pump right now because there's a greater good. You're going to lose that. I'm sorry. Your average American is not thinking about how much of a threat Iran is. Maybe they should be. But you're just not going to win that argument. It's not the kind of society we live in. Joel. I would rather pay high gas prices than know in 10 years from now we get a couple of nuclear bombs heading our way. Y'all people wipe the blank up. Maybe you mean wake up. Okay, well, then go vote for Republicans. This is all not a discussion about the merits of what he's doing. This is a cause and effect discussion. If you are in favor of the policy, if you want a hawkish approach to Iran and the threat that they pose, you're going to need to give Donald Trump some kind of backup on Capitol Hill. That's our system of government. And you're not going to get that with $5 gas prices in excess of $5 a gallon. Our diesel prices at $6 a gallon and higher. You're not going to get that. We can have the discussion about if this is right or wrong and what you would do and what you think is right, but it's not about you. I know this is a hard discussion for some of you. It's about voter behavior and what other people are going to do. Pat, why are liberals talking about gas prices anyways? Don't they want fully electric 18-wheelers and all the base already drives hybrids and electrics? Well, they're talking about it because it's politically advantageous. Ultra Runner. Let's see here. Regarding Iran's nuclear capabilities, we can argue how close they were, but do you agree it is a priority for them? Sure. Do you agree that they have made progress despite our best efforts? Yes. Do you agree that the Obama administration was, we already read that. What will cost us more, $4 a gallon gas for 6 months or $20 toll debt for decades? Why don't we hyper-focus on the former and roll over on the latter? I mean, do we know it's going to be for 6 months? I but the toll, no one's rolling over on the toll. At least I'm not on this program.
All right, let's take it on down to Muscle Shoals.
Well, we are rolling over. I mean, the governor sort of gets what she wants. I don't know what to tell you on that $7.70 toll. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Right up over Spanish Fort into Mobile, my home.
Sitting here at the Floribama, about to open up a big old can. Good time, unwind, falling out of love in the same dollar. Can't say I got a whole lot of cares. I'm in the redneck Riviera. It's getting crazy. Getting hammered, sitting right here at the Floribama.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday morning, 251-343-0106. Mike, was my text too long? So all I got was my text too long. I didn't get your initial text, Mike. or if you meant for this one to be read, it was sent at 7:46 a.m. Kind of funny that there's not enough money to build the federal I-10 bridge at Bayway, while at the same time the feds have spent that much money in the last 5 days bombing Iran for Israel. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where this country puts its priorities, and apparently the threat of nuclear Iran. I just don't think people maybe make the connection. War is war, and it just is what it is. Derek, every time you say Ultra Runner, I picture Terry from Reno 911. And then one more here. Ultra Runner, not you, but all local representatives rolled over on the toll, even though the returning champion. Why did he give up? Champions may not always win, but they never give up. Well, I'm going to tell you what my suspicion is. They had an honest discussion about it. They said, hey, do you want the bridge or not? You're about to have to go along with this toll plan. And we in the public need to say no. Well, this has been the management of the message, is to keep from what happened in 2019 from happening in 2026. No grassroots Facebook group. No Jim Ziegler book. Now, the value of $7.70 isn't quite what it was in 2019. I think they got these elected officials said, all right, well, the only way you're going to get this bridge, and you need it, is if you do it this way. And they probably looked at it, and they looked down the road, they said, well, what if we wait? And I think they need to wait till Governor Tuberville and a new ALDOT director come in, to be honest. The Ivey administration, as far as I'm concerned, is out of goodwill. Because it's just too self-serving and too interested in legacy building with a West Alabama corridor and going on this, like, a very aggressive repaving Alabama initiative. They've lost credibility. And, you know, John Cooper has not been a credible actor here, the current ALDOT director. And he should have retired 5 years ago. You talk about Mitch McConnell. I mean, that's what it looks like when he's around the state house. And he's got a temper. He's not very diplomatic. But he's a guy who's very heavy-handed in his approach and threatens lawmakers. Ask Shane Stringer, ask Andy Witt. When they dare step out of line, start questioning the priorities of the Alabama Department of Transportation, oh, they get so offended by that they're the experts at ALDOT, and you guys are just pandering for votes. Don't question our transportation egghead philosophies. We're the learned ones. We have the engineering degrees. We're the ones who know better than thou. And so, to me, there's a credibility issue there that has to be overcome. But they don't. They don't have to. Let's say that. But they probably looked at it and said, "Ultra Runner, well, we're going to have some toll. Let's let this governor and this ALDOT director take the fall for it." Because they're going to be gone in a few months anyway. And they'll have a new governor, and he could start, oh, this is what I inherited. This is what I have to do. But she's doing all these very politically unpopular things. And when the new governor comes in, he doesn't have to take the fall for him. He could just point to his predecessor. Is what it seems like to me. That they do acknowledge that, okay, we're going to have to toll it and people aren't going to like it. We could blame Ivy for it, or we could wait and Tuberville could take the fall for it. What do you think they're going to go with? We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Become a highwayman again. Or I may simply be a single drop of rain. But I will...
to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday morning. Text line if you want to be in touch with the show, 251-343-0106. We'll get to your text over the course of today's program. Still to come, our returning champion, usually hear him on Fridays, but we agreed to come on a day early. State Senator Chris Elliott will be with us, so please stay tuned for that. Joining us now, you'll get to hear more of her in the next four broadcasts, because as we say here at FM Talk 106.5, you never can have enough April Marie Fogel. But our Thursday regular April Marie Fogel here is with us. April Marie, how are you?
I'm doing well today. Excited about being on the next couple of days.
Yeah, I think the audience is more excited not to have to hear me for the next 2 weeks.
Fair. You know, we do have a little bit different topic areas.
Well, I guess. I don't know. I think we generally align politically, though.
That's true. I will say I have Andrew Sorrell coming on tomorrow, and we're going to talk auditors, we're going to talk elections, and we're going to talk a little bit of wedding talk. How much time have you devoted to talking about weddings?
No. You're going to do the John Wall wedding, aren't you?
I'm going to it. He's going to it. It's tomorrow. So, yes, we will probably get into that a little bit.
Yeah. I have dedicated zero time to that. Celebrity weddings, and this isn't, are we going to call him a celebrity? I guess he's a lieutenant governor elect.
I don't know. I don't know that I would say celebrity. Quasi celebrity, pseudo celebrity.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy for them.
What's amazing to me is it's like the size of an Algop event, which I guess coming off of Algop, you would somewhat expect that.
These weddings that are like where your wedding crowd is very political. And look, we had a lot of people who were in politics come to our wedding.
I was going to say, didn't you have a VIP or two at yours?
Yeah, we did. Tucker came to our wedding because that's where we met, working for him. Tucker Carlson, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. And there were a few other like kind of pseudo DC types who were there. But I don't know.
I just don't know about big weddings. Truth be told, I've never been married. But I always imagined I would want a smaller one, not a ginormous big event. This is like the Taylor Swift size wedding for Alabama.
I have a question from the text line that I must get to.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Will there be a butterfly release?
Oh, my gosh. I'll see if I can find out before tomorrow. I feel like that's a safe bet, though. What do you think? Is it that time of year?
I don't know. I'm ready to move on. There's something that's supposed to be sacred about the institution of very personal about weddings and marriage, and I'm happy for them, but...
Someone asked if I was going to cover it, and I was like, I will 100% not under any circumstances be writing a word about this.
Because it's not Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, okay?
And we're not Page Six.
No. Right? Their argument was people who are wanting us to do more with it that, those of you may not know, State Representative Andy Witt, his son married Congressman Robert Adderholt's daughter. And that was sort of what it reminds me of? What was it? The book, This Town. Did you ever read that?
And I did not.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Where they're at Tim Russert's funeral and they're swapping business cards.
Oh, yeah, that's yuck, right?
Yeah, it's just mixing the two and taking your wedding and making it a political event. I don't know. It's fine if that's what they want and that makes them happy. But it's hard for me to. It's hard for me to, like, get on board with that.
Well, and here's the thing is there's a difference between, I think, a candidate or elected official doing it and then coming off of Algop. You know, that is a relationship, and you and I have discussed what an Algop chairman should be doing and what that role is supposed to be doing. And it's a relationship building where you don't have these, shallow relationships, but you have relationships with people and they feel like they can call you and they can talk to you, whether whoever it is around the state. And I think that's it's more of a testament of less political, but how effective Wahl was as an ALGOP chairman.
That's true. I mean, you know, in Alabama politics, unlike D.C., and you've done,
you know, people feel like they could call you job.
You may have me on mute here. But in Alabama politics, and unlike D.C., it's a little cozier, right?
We know one another. We run in, it's a pretty small circle here.
They date each other, the younger kids. They all, you know, go to the same bars and hang out at the same places. And, you know, there's some aspects of D.C. where it's very cliquish like that. But truly, like, Montgomery is kind of a miniature version of this town. And they everybody knows each other. And some of these people who have been doing the D.C., I mean, the Montgomery game for decades, I mean, they go back decades. You know, they all go to the same country clubs, the same schools, et cetera.
Oh, it's always amazing to me when you're having conversations with people in politics and they're like, oh, yeah, I went to grade school with that person, graduated high school with that person, went all the way through to college, SGA with that person. You know, it is a very small world when you come to that. And dating and marriage and divorce, that's also one of those very small world things. Everybody knows everybody.
Yeah, I mean, like, how many, you know, talk about lawmakers and their weddings and their divorces, like, how does that topic come up?
I was gonna say probably not on air a lot, but in real life weekly.
Yeah, and you know, the seedy gossip of the hallways, man, stuff that we don't talk about. It's incredible.
Maybe that's what makes such something like this so such a thing you can't talk about, because so much of what happens is in whispers, right? Like, who's dating who? Because that's even generally kept on the down low. If you know, go to their particular restaurants or you see them in the office, you may know. But then it's like, oh, and so-and-so got engaged. And people are like, oh, I didn't realize they were together. And usually it's a cross office, in our office, away, you know, kind of thing.
There's a lot of workplace. I mean, I'm one to talk here, but a lot of workplace romances. When you're that into your work, I guess it just becomes your world.
It really does. And so to my point earlier, you know, we talk about, you and I talk about a lot of issues. I don't know that on the Jeff Porch show they're getting a lot of Alabama romance information.
No, probably not. But no one is really as plugged in the radio circuit as we are. What goes on in that town? You know, the people watch it and they watch your reporting, but like, you actually spend time there and everybody kind of knows what everybody's business is. And sometimes that like impacts the policy.
Oh, it does. Absolutely. There have been times where you go, why isn't this thing happening? And you go, oh, well, so-and-so is dating so-and-so. And it's usually, you know, someone in the Senate and someone in the governor's office, someone in this office or that office. You know, there just is that to it. And the things get a lot quieter when people aren't in the process. We didn't see or hear much. I talked about, say, you know, Steve Marshall's engagement and then elopement. That happened rather quickly. And because it wasn't a political relationship, I don't think it got a lot of attention.
Yeah. And the other thing is, like, I'm really apprehensive here, but I hear this all the time. Well, you know, this guy is with this gal, and that's why he's pushing this bill. And I that just makes me... I don't know.
There's queasy?
When I hear it, but like as far as like discussing it publicly and trying to make like score a point on it or talking, throwing it out there for mass consumption, I don't know. I just there's something that's a little too personal about it.
Definitely. And I think what's interesting about that is it's good in the back of your mind to know these things, but not necessarily, you don't have to know, you know, you don't say the quiet part out loud. But this is a fun thing that we do get to discuss this week.
Now, there is an exception, I guess, would be Robert Bentley and his whatever that was with Rebecca Mason. Where it does, like, it crosses that line into the unethical, right?
But here's why I had a very strong, hard and fast rule on that was, until it's proven that it impacted the work force or impacted state funds or impacted any of those things. It was just a rumor mill. And people knew it for years, but nobody really, I don't think it bubbled over until people knew, you know, the going to get the bet wallet and the Wanda's desk and the different things like that. I think all the palace intrigue behind that still understood that it was a personal issue until it wasn't.
Yeah, until it isn't. And, you know, like I said, when you see something, I mean, you got there's a higher standard for that. Even in the realm of talk radio, where we do kind of dabble in the rumor sphere, but I that to me is you got to leave that alone until you actually have something hard and fast that makes it fit for public consumption.
Absolutely, which is why you just have to wait for the very real, very public things. And there's been that. There's been, you know, members who have gotten engaged. There's been, you know, like I said, Marshall got engaged and married during his time as Attorney General. There have been times of it happening, in which case then it's something kind of celebratory that you don't get.
Right. In the last few years, we've had lawmakers get engaged, you know, and get married, and it becomes a very public event. Wes Kitchens, now state senator.
I mean, our very own Chris Pringle found his better half.
That's right. Yeah. I forget that, but you said the necessary congratulations, but do we really want to like talk about that first date? And, you know, like, oh, how did y'all meet? You know, well, I was just minding my own business on my BlackBerry. And
you're not having those interviews, Jeff?
No. And I probably would not be the best suited to conduct that kind of stuff. That's what you're here for, right?
I was going to say, I kind of want you to have those sorts of interviews at some point. Like, as a form of punishment, I'm going to make Jeff bet me. That's going to be the bet, and I'm going to make Jeff interview.
Coming up today on the Hallmark movie segment of the Jeff Poehler Show, we'll talk about when he knew she was the one.
The text line will go bonkers for it.
Oh, man, my text line would revolt.
Yes,
my screens would catch on fire if we started doing that.
I need you to do it in studio so that both Leanna and Sean, you can see the looks on their faces.
Yeah, like, what are you doing, man? You know?
That would be great.
No, but I guess this is the thing that you like. It took me a while to learn this in D.C. because, you know, you're naive when you first move up there. But, like, these are human beings, too. And they have
absolutely
to deal with all the same problems, all the same drama. They're not immune to it. They're not. I mean, maybe they manage it better. Probably not. But they the same sort of soap opera that goes on in everyday human life is right before you in a very public way.
I think that's why part of why in media you have to draw that line of what's public information you're going to talk about, what's not. And we do a pretty good job of that. I have to say 1819 is probably the best of all the outlets in terms of keeping news worthy information.
Yeah. And like you're in this business. How many times have you been approached with one of these, like, stories about adultery or something, and you either know it's just silly gossip mongering trying to stir something the pot about something, or we knew about that already.
And I tell people all the time, people in glass houses don't throw stones, so I typically will just leave whatever inside gossip where it needs to be until it is, you know, well, it's Facebook official, Instagram official, going to ALGOP meeting official.
Yeah, or as we will learn, Friday night?
Yes.
Yes, on this program, apparently. Radio official as well. Entertaining to me that you're going to facilitate this discussion, though.
Well, we are going to talk actual politics and actual campaign, you know, the cycle. It's a weird, you and I, we know this. It's a weird news cycle. We could talk data centers. Or we could talk, Democrats trying to rig elections. That's actually what we're going to talk about. And then we may veer a little bit into wedding talk.
Yeah, well, imagine talking about Democrats' wedding discussions.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Like, where do you get a cake with two grooms or something?
Some things you don't even. I just
will the bridesmaids be transgender, quote unquote, female, quote unquote, maid of honor, right?
You don't talk about blowing up your phone line. Talk about gay marriages. Lord have mercy.
Well, I haven't looked at the text line, but I'm sure it's bubbling over into the stick to the issues crowd. Really loves this discussion about the personal lives of our highly respected state policymakers and officials.
I will say this in terms of Andrew Sorbellas, he brought up something I hadn't really considered, which is, you know, everybody thinks that the auditors is doing what they don't do, doing the public examiner's job, but the auditors is actually responsible for the physical items. And consider what's in the state house and what gets moved to the new state house and then what goes where. That's actually an interesting conversation I'm going to have with him tomorrow, because there's a lot there.
Well, there's your 15 seconds of serious discussion there, ladies and gentlemen, because we're out of time. April Marie Fogle, folks want to find you online. Where can they look?
1819 News is the best place, and I'll be here filling in for you tomorrow.
All right, we'll be right back to Stuff and Talk 106.
Should have died out a long time before. Have pity on a dinosaur.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us despite our wedding discussion. 251-343-0106. Stay here, Chris Elliott coming up in the next hour, so stay tuned for that. Tim. Yeah, you're not going to get the returning champion to say anything because meanwhile put her foot on his throat and he's like a little church mouse now. I will say this. When the public said in 2019 that they did not want a toll, I mean, he came out against it and he was kicked off the A-Trip 2 committee. Which is a committee that gets to approve turning lanes very important, but maybe not big, big, big road projects. But it's a coveted position, and she gave it to a Democrat. She gave it to Vivian Figures. But I think they said they had a real honest discussion with these guys. I said, look, you're not going to get the bridge unless you agree to some kind of toll. And this is as low as we can go right now. And if you don't agree to this now, then you're just not going to get it. It's going to be, if you want to do it later, sure, but it'll be $8.70. And I think they just kind of made a decision that that was the best offer they were going to get. And I don't know the ins and outs of it. But I do think that part of it is that. But it's fair game to be against it. I some of the decisions that are being made at that level, I don't trust these people. They play politics. John Cooper stopped in the middle of construction. Very expensive thing to do, by the way. Bill Holzkahl, a former state senator, when he was in the state senate, Robert Bentley was tinkering with the idea of a tax increase. And Holzkahl takes his own money, I guess out of his campaign funds, and puts up some kind of billboard against it. And what does the ALDOT head do? What does Governor Bentley do? They stop building this road expansion. They're winding Jeff Road is the name of it up in Madison. They're going to show him. They're going to make an example of him. You don't do that to us. Instead of what should have been the protocol here is this road really needs to be built because it's a traffic situation and this is best for the people of the state. That if you don't go along with their nonsense, if you don't go along, and it could be something totally unrelated to road construction, but if you don't go along with it, there will be repercussions, and we're going to use it in a political manner. That's a real thing. With this ALDOT director. Jason, I think it's safe to say Mike suffers from IDS, Israeli Derangement Syndrome. Maybe just a touch. Ben, how many tolls could we have paid off with the money used to build that bridge to nowhere, Orange Beach? The Great Compromise, yeah. The bridge probably not many people are going to use except during school hours, I suspect. 251-343-0106. We shall return. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Carry on, carry on, sweet southern comfort, carry on.
Chances are you or someone you know is struggling with an addiction. And just like most things in life, if you ignore it, it won't go away. The truth of the matter is, if you want to reclaim your life, you need help. That's why you need to call the National Recovery Center sooner than later. We can't help unless you're ready to be helped. You need to want a better life. You need to want to stop the downward, out-of-control spiral you've been on. You need to make a conscious effort and take control. Our programs are designed to provide you with the care and support you need. Every person is treated with a unique treatment plan designed specifically for you, regardless of what stage of addiction you're in.